Well, let's pick up on that last point about immigration reform now with Enrique Acevedo, who is anchor and correspondent at Univision News. He's with us from Doral, Florida. Enrique, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good to be back.
And do you agree with what Rick just said, that immigration reform is dead for the year?
Well, we've discussed this before many months ago, and we said that it was dead. There wasn't a chance that it would pass on a midterm election year. And, you know, Republicans didn't seem to be in favor of this immigration overhaul at all.
And now that's it. It's not even a piecemeal approach at this point.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't agree with the fact that immigration reform had anything to do with Eric Cantor's loss last night. I've just seen very vague correlations to prove that. You have to look at the numbers and the way the campaign played out. Eric Cantor spent almost as much on steakhouses than his opponent did in his whole campaign. And, you know, more than $5 million against $200,000. No one was listening to David Brat. They just didn't want to listen to Cantor anymore. So this wasn't a referendum on immigration reform. This was a referendum on the performance of a very unpopular House leadership.
So you're saying that immigration reform is dead and off the table, but not because of Eric Cantor?
Not because of Eric Cantor. I mean, this happened a long time ago. When President Obama was reelected, we thought that he had a window of opportunity. But Republicans don't want to move on immigration reform. And it's worrisome for the party, I think, in the long term, because this means, of course, after today and entertaining the idea that immigration reform had anything to do with Eric Cantor's loss, it means two things. Immigration reform is never going to go through Congress. And number two, Republicans are never going back to the White House.
What are activists saying today, Enrique?
Well, no one regarded Eric Cantor as an ally of immigration reform. And, you know, there are two partners of immigration reform in Congress. You have to look at Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, or even the case of, Erin Elmers in South Carolina, the representative. So, you know, we're not saying that Eric Cantor was in favor or supportive of immigration reform at any point. So, you know, we fear the fact, and activists fear the fact that this might hurt immigration reform in terms of perception. But it was already a lost fight for many.
Well, and you bring up Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, who just won his primary, even though he was a supporter of the Senate comprehensive immigration reform bill, which would provide a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants.
That's true. I mean, Politico came out with a poll today saying that 74% of registered voters in Eric Cantor's district support some sort of immigration reform. It's true for any poll you look at nationally. The majority of Americans support fixing this broken immigration system. They support more security at the border, which we already have. We're talking about the most secured, most militarized border in the world. They support stopping people from employing illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants in this country, and a pathway to citizenship for those 11, 12 million people who are already here without documents. That's true for any poll you see nationally and, you know, even in the case of Eric Cantor's district.
Well, you say, Enrique, the most secure, most militarized border in the world. A lot of people would disagree with that right now, in part because of this story that's come out about all of these unaccompanied minors coming across the border right now into Texas and Arizona. What do you make of that story? And do you think that that played any role in Eric Cantor's defeat?
Well, when we talk about the most militarized border in the world, I say that because we have 21 well-armed men along the border, 700-mile wall, and, you know, high-tech surveillance technology in the border. So we do have a very secure border. The only other place where we have as much of a security presence is the border between South and North Korea. So the border between Mexico and the U.S. is pretty well guarded. What we have now, it's a humanitarian crisis. And it's, you know, we've always had unaccompanied minors come through the border. This is not new. It's just the number of unaccompanied minors that are coming through the border now. It seems to be growing and at a rate that it's alarming.
For what reason?
I don't know that this story played a role, though, in Eric Cantor's defeat. I don't know if people were paying attention in Virginia to that.
Well, what do you think that we have such an influx now of unaccompanied minors?
Well, you know, people tend to explain this as a direct consequence of President Obama's narrative on immigration and the need to provide humanitarian assistance. I haven't seen any sort of evidence that proves that whatever happens in terms of our lawmaking process here in the U.S., in terms of immigration reform, affects the decision of an average immigrant in Central America or Mexico to immigrate to the United States, I don't think these people are looking at C-SPAN and saying, you know what, immigration reform looks like it's going to pass. We might have a window of opportunity here. They're looking at their wallets. They're looking at their plates in their tables at home. They're looking at violence that is drawing them through to the north border.
Enrique Acevedo, anchoring correspondent at Univision News, saying today that he doesn't think that immigration was the driving force behind Eric Cantor's loss. You can weigh in at our website, hereandnow.org. Enrique, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
You're listening to Here and Now.